Welcome back to a new episode of Liquidity and Liquor. This is Yosef Martin with Scott DeClary, and today we're going to be talking about marketing tips, and if we had to choose a strategy for next business, what would it be? So we're going to start about talking about two. There's going to be two that we're going to discuss. One is on personal branding, and we're going to give the example for Alex Hormozi, which blew up in, I would say, in the last 8 months or a year or so.
Super quick.
Yeah, we'll kind of break down a little bit from what we see, the strategy and how you guys can implement those tactics. And then the second one would be for business. If you have to blow your business up today on social media and go viral, what would be a good strategy to pick from someone else? And we're going to talk about Duolingo. Yes.
Yeah.
Which that would be my take. If I come up with a new business, I would definitely go in their route, and I'll explain why. So you're familiar with Alex, right?
Of course, yeah.
And by the way, I think he's doing amazing. I like his content, and I feel like the strategy behind the content, and he did break it down in one of his videos on YouTube, was quantity and then improve the quality later, which makes a lot of sense. And thank you for that, because if you think of you going in and throwing in lots of content, you eventually get better and better. You understand what works because you have a data set to kind of like process that and say, okay, those are the winners, kind of like A-B testing. You throw quite a few and then you kind of like take the ones that win and you double down on that strategies. So,
and I think that also what he does very well is there's a few things as well that you have to do to get to that point.
By the way, if you don't know who Alex Hormozi is, check him out. He does a lot of short form content where the videos are few minutes, right? It's just a couple minutes. Taking a topic, he'll sit down with his videographer. He's going to get about 150 topics. Go. Few seconds, talk about each one of them.
He's actually, you can see on some of his early videos, you can see him reading from like a list of, like a paper in front of him, all these different topics, and he'll just talk about them.
Yeah.
And the videographer edits it. But basically, I think what he does very well, and what he did very well at the beginning, is that he took advantage of the fact that he didn't have to make money off people. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is even his first opening line in some of his YouTube videos was, hey, my name is Alex Hormozi and I have nothing to sell you. So he didn't...
It was a hook.
That was the hook. And he did the opposite. He did like a pattern interrupt from what every other business influencer does, which is try and sell you something. And I've heard him say this as well. He's like, if I can get a comment saying, oh my God, I can't believe that's free, that's a win for me.
Yeah.
Because everyone else is trying to sell stuff and I don't need the money to that. So that's my competitive advantage.
Yeah, he goes in a world where everyone is trying to sell you a course online. Yeah. And it's he's like the one who says, I'm not.
Like when Bezos said, like, your margin is my advantage with Amazon. Mm-hmm. That's how he's doing it. So the fact that I don't have to sell something is my advantage. Now, keep in mind, he built a successful business. He has a great story to tell. He has some accolades. He's made a lot of money. He's built a lot of stuff so he can tell the story.
Unlike many others, he's coming with substance. He speaks out of experience, which makes it different. Most people don't go and ask, wait, it sounds good what you're saying. You put it all in perfect words, but did you really build this? I mean, who are you? And I will always go back to someone like Simon Sinek. Your business was the business of selling a business, which I have respect for that, but that's all your business. So how did you start selling a business? Proposal. With him, it was different. I actually built something, so I have some experience and so on. So
yeah. So then once you have that background, and that's like what kind of the strategy. The strategy is to do cool shit and then to talk about it.
Exactly.
That's kind of the strategy to be liked and to be successful. It's not that complicated.
Well, I guess another thing you want to say to where you don't produce something that takes too long because you're going to get too exhausted. I think one of his tactical ones, it wasn't a strategy as much. It was more of a, in a tactical level. If you want to create a lot of content quick, you need to go and dumb down the content. Don't use too many editing. Just make it easy to produce. Otherwise, you're going to get tired and throw it into the ether, and then eventually you're going to see the ones that coming up with the winning results, and you can double down on those.
And then it's about paying attention to what works. So when you say you have this strategy where you have all these, you know, these 100 ideas, and you're just going through all these ideas, and you have this background so you can speak from experience, then when you start to put this stuff out there, then you start
monetize to pay attention. And optimize.
Yeah, monetize and optimize, exactly. And that's what he does really, really well. Yeah.
Now, the other ones that we have is, what if you're selling insurance, one if it's a boring business, why real estate, something.
And these companies give up. So you talk to an insurance company, a lawyer, they give up on
how
social
do
media,
you promote the business? This is you promoting yourself. If you're trying to promote yourself, perfect way to go and learn from him. Next time, maybe we can talk about the Andrew Tate strategy, but Alex Hormozi is a phenomenal strategy. But then about a company, how do you promote a company? And if I had to pick on a new strategy for a company, for BoxyCharm, I had something that worked, but what would work today? We said Duolingo.
Duolingo. So Duolingo is just, Duolingo.
If you haven't checked Duolingo, go under,
yeah,
go under TikTok, and you'll understand why they have 6 million followers, and they go viral almost on every
video. It's a language app. It is a language app that teaches you a new language.
And that's it.
That's
supposed to be a boring business.
Yeah.
And what they're doing over there is creating the awareness. They're more focused on the awareness that's related to what they're doing in a way, but it's kind of like memes.
Yeah.
With figurines that have, well, what was that figurine?
It's a big green owl.
A big green owl. But they have different figurines that are related to actually video games. So it goes into a young generation on TikTok with very specific colors that gives you, colors gives you emotions. It's kind of like a pastel colors that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Captures your eyes, right? Think of a feed where you scroll down the feed. You get very much tired of this. It's like, think of if you read the book The Purple Cow, which I did not read the book, but I understand the concept of the book because I was told about it.
Don't go and read the book.
All you're gonna need to know is it was about a person that drove down. I think it was Scotland, and there are a bunch of cows over there. And what he said was, all the cows look the same in marketing. If all your billboards look the same, that was pre-internet. How can you stand out? Well, what if I had a purple cow? So yeah, out of 1,000 cows that you drive and see cows that are black and white, suddenly one's going to be purple. It's going to stand out. That stands out visually, right? It stimulates you because it moves in a certain way. And then they have,
you know who wrote that book, right? So Seth Godin wrote that book.
Okay.
And Seth Godin, even, he always wears funky colored glasses.
Mm.
So Seth Godin is like a marketing, you know, pre-Gary Vee.
Yes.
He was like Gary Vee, what Gary Vee looked up to.
Yeah.
He was like an executive at Yahoo, and he always wears these yellow or these purple glasses. And he has a look that he always shows up with, this look, and that's his purple cow.
Yeah.
And he
So it's the same thing what they did over there. They took a figurine.
Yeah.
That would go out there, and every time that would be the if you see that, you see already the brand. That is what you're gonna, in your mind, it's gonna be new, it's gonna be authentic, it's gonna be fun, it's gonna be, but it goes viral because it has all the elements for virality content.
Yeah, they do all the right things. So they focus on the right trends and the right songs, and
absolutely,
they jump on the things.
Yeah. Say everyone does that already, right? You know to take the right sounds, you know to get all that. But then what can still, because so many people are already doing that, you're still not a purple cow for that.
No.
You have to go. They came up with a figurine, and guess what? I'm surprised not too many companies did the same. If you have already a logo,
you know why? Because companies are scared. Companies are scared.
Because of the reputation.
If you go the extra mile and you do something a little bit different, even though it seems simple, like, what's hard about it? You designed a mascot and you put one of your marketing 100%. Team in a mascot, and that's all it is.
Yep.
Any company in the world can do that. Any bank, any insurance company, any real estate brokerage can go get a mascot.
There's also the fear where you say, well, they already own that. Why would they do the same? Well, I mean, do it first. Let them complain about it, because now you're in the news for that. Now you're in the discussion regardless.
Yeah.
They figure out something else a little bit different. It doesn't have to be the same. Maybe you can do something in your walls. But the point is, they're doing it in the office too.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, when I look at great companies that have great marketing, it doesn't have to be something that you haven't seen. I would say great companies didn't come necessarily just because of marketing. Some did. So if you look at Fashion Nova, you know what? They were early on to do something at the time was great, because not too many people understood how to work with influencers and just look at lots of influencers. I want everyone to wear my clothes, right? Because it's clothes. It's for men, it's for women. At first, they started as Fashion Nova jeans. Then they moved into Fashion Nova. Then they added Fashion Nova men, and they added more and more layers. But they would just go to everywhere. But what they also did was they would go to meme accounts, just like my therapist said. And they would say, listen, we're not going to pay you much, but we're going to pay you for a lot of content just to have our name out there. And now we're going to give you kind of like short videos that are not really funny, but you know, it's gonna work and it's still gonna be semi-funny. And that's what they're gonna do. And that kept the awareness. And it still gave you a thing to think about. It gave you it created the upper funnel that there are still top of mind. You keep mm-hmm. thinking about them all the time. Over here,
so Duolingo just memes,
Duolingo just went
memes
in
for TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. It was the memes for TikTok, but they said we're going to be the meme. The whole account's going to be the meme, and it's going to attach the account, but it's going to be branded meme, and that is going to be our face. And now, one thing they also did was they didn't leave any stone
unturned. Yeah,
unturned, no, right?
Yeah.
They have a podcast that's one of the top
two of their podcasts, and you know what their podcasts are? Their podcasts are just you learning a language.
Yeah, that's
it's
what
it's a story. They have a. I just checked before we started recording. They have a French podcast and a Spanish podcast in the top 10 education, meaning they get millions of downloads a month, and they're just a story that's just told to you in French, so you can practice your French and listen to French. That's it.
Yeah, that's
so now you know what they're relevant. Not. Yeah. You know what they're not even just making sure they have 100% market share of the language learning market. They're making other people want to learn languages because they exist.
They build up their own market.
They built their own market because of this. So now, because I can guarantee you, if French was that popular a podcast topic, there would be other language companies that have podcasts, but they're not. So that 100%. Means that there's new people that are like, I love
it
Duolingo.
It opens up their mind, and if they see conversion,
maybe
they double down
think
on
about,
it.
Yes. I should think about learning French or Spanish, and then they do it, which is
whoever does wild. Their marketing, you need to learn from. So if that person moved to another company, just follow that person to the next company and see what their next
She's famous is. Now, actually, in her own right. The person who started that account, she's won marketing awards.
Really?
I can't remember her name, but you can find her. You Google Duolingo Al Marketer. Mm-hmm. There's one. I mean, now there's probably a team, obviously, that supports. But I don't even know if there's that much of a team.
You need to.
You have to have not a team to be that creative. I think you have to be like...
Boom. Yeah. Exactly. Everyone think that if you do something well, it has to be a big team. We managed 2,000 influencers. It was a team of two.
Yeah.
That managed 2,000. People thought we have. So
you need
many.
Somebody who's willing to do just to do whatever. And as a company, you have to be okay with them screwing up. Because if not, then they're not going to want to try stuff out. But she's won marketing awards now.
Yeah. So this is definitely a company you want to pick their concept from and take something. You don't have to do exactly the same thing, build those mascots. You don't have to do that necessarily, but figure out the tactic behind this was colors, something funny. And what I really liked about this is that they don't have a human face behind the business.
So that's
you do
you
not tie
before.
Yourself into that person that got into controversy, that said some wrong things or tomorrow just left. Because of whatever the reason is, to the competitor that I had that past where I looked at Ipsy at the time where they had some people that had a contract and left. They had a lot of beauty creators and they left. And I saw the impact on the relevancy for Ipsy, my previous competitors. It really impacted the company. And at the time I was paranoid because I had one person managing all the social for us and she was great. I mean, she still is. Her name is Gabby. And if you listen, you're amazing. And we just couldn't find another Gabby. It was a team of girls. One of them was Gabby, and she just couldn't find another one. And I said, all right, what happened in the day when she leaves? Because she opened her own makeup brand. And I said, look, one day you're going to have to leave when it picks up. You're going to have to run that business. So I had to put myself on it as a person just to keep a flow. So if someone leaves, it's not the whole crew, and then you create a new crew. Because I saw what happened to Ipsy at the time. And not to say, I mean, Ipsy still did great, but you could see the difference when someone leaves. There is... Many people live with them. They just want to keep following them and not the company. So eventually, if they're not in the company, you have lost all those people. And you don't want that. So if you have that mascot, that's where you can continue it forever because it can be anybody.
You'll lose
that.
The creativity, but you can find new creativity. But if you lose the actual face...
The face is important.
Yeah.
People don't realize until they realize.
All right. Okay, that's it for today. If you enjoyed, please subscribe on YouTube. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can download and listen to it wherever you get your podcasts or on liquidityandliquor.com.